Now, listen, as we read these, you're going to think, wow, he already said that. Wow, he said that again. Oh, my, he said that again. Yeah, he did. That's the point. Remember how Jesus says to the disciples, soon to be apostles, why are you so slow? Why are you blind? Are you deaf? Kind of the psalmist is sort of treating us that way this morning. So here we go. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And he formed the dry land. Psalm 100. Make a joyful sound to the Lord, all the earth. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh. Call upon his name. Make known his works among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Psalm 106, praise Yahweh. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare his praise? Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed people say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Please be seated. Now, some churches and some traditions, and some of them are Presbyterians, they think this is the first Sunday of Advent, and that's fine. Our first Sunday of Advent is not until next Sunday. I want to have a Thanksgiving service after Thanksgiving. And there's nothing in the book of church order or the scripture that can stop us from doing that. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you feel sort of like a nonconformist? Good. Yeah. So, you're supposed to do four Sundays before Christmas. Who made that up? I don't know. I don't really care. Okay, enough of that. My bad. All right. I want us to look at these psalms together as a bunch, as a group, if you will. Sometimes, maybe sadly, you've had to do this with a family member. You've had an intervention. You know, maybe they're abusing alcohol or drugs. And so the idea is, if you can get every family member around the room saying, this is what you do, and that's what you do when you're abusing this or that. And the hope is that if everybody's pointing a finger at them, that might impress them. Well, think of the psalmist here, each psalm being one of those guys pointing a finger and saying, hey, this is how you worship and give thanks. Hey, this is how you worship and give thanks. Hey. Now, I want us to see it. I want us to see what the Psalms say about giving thanks and worship. But before we go there, let's just take a little cue from our Savior first. Let's just think with me. We'll play a little Bible trivia. You remember that story, don't you? Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem in Luke's gospel. He says that three times. He says it in chapter 9 and then another chapter, I think 13, and then in 17. He right before he tells the story of these 10 lepers that are going to be healed, that Jesus is going to heal. He's headed to Jerusalem, and then these lepers approach Jesus. They may not have the very severe form of what we think of as leprosy in today's culture, where people literally their limbs or fingers can fall off by the disease. It could very well just be a milder case of psoriasis or some kind of skin disease. But nonetheless, because of the ceremonial law, they're unclean. They cannot be around their family. They certainly can't come to the temple. And by implication, the synagogue. They can't be around anybody except fellow lepers. Keep in mind that Jews and Samaritans hate each other. The Samaritans are what we used to say in the old days. They were half-breeds. They were half Jew and half pagan. That's worse than a pagan. And they've corrupted the Jewish religion. But here are 10 lepers, and at least one of them, maybe more, is a Samaritan, and he's hanging out with the Jewish lepers. Misery loves company. Even Samaritan company if you're a leper. And you remember, they holler out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us, help us." They know not to get close. Can't be around, can't get too close to somebody. They're unclean. Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priests." Remember, the priests are priests, but they're also the medical officers according to the Old Testament. They've got to tell you when you're clean, when you can come back home, and when you can go to worship. Okay? It's not my job. That was in the Old Testament. Okay? It's Larry's job, not mine. So you have to see him after service. But you see, in the Old Testament era, you had to go to the priest, show him, "Look, I've been healed. My psoriasis is gone. My skin disease is gone. I'm clean. I can go back to family." Jesus heals 10 of them instantly. And they dutifully go to the priest, because that's what Jesus said to do. And here they go to the priest. That's what Jesus told them to do. But one of them, a Samaritan, he runs back to Jesus and glorifies God and gives thanks. And Jesus says, "Where are the other 9? Did only one come back to give thanks? And that one, a Samaritan, a foreigner?" And then Jesus says these glorious words to that man: "Your faith has saved you." The others got healed. Yes, they did. But there's no evidence of their faith. But this man has expressed his faith by coming back and giving glory to Jesus. Just one more thing, and I'm not preaching on that passage, by the way. That's just my introduction, in case you're wondering. You might have thought, "Oh, that's a fast sermon." So imagine you're at the dinner table with one of the other 9. Maybe it happened right before Thanksgiving, and now you're at a Thanksgiving meal and you're with your second cousin or fifth uncle or whatever, and you know he's had leprosy, and you heard now the story. He's miraculously healed, and that Jesus did it. I mean, Jesus has been doing a lot of that stuff. And they're getting ready to say thanks around the Thanksgiving dinner table, and you say to your relative, "So, what was it like after you were cleansed and you went back to praise Jesus?" And of course, you know what he couldn't say. All right, enough of that. Just trying to whet your appetite a little bit for what's about to take place. Because see, what I want to do with these psalms, I don't want to just see what they say and help you see it. That's all well and good. But brothers and sisters, if we don't hear it, if we don't really hear what they're saying, what the psalmist, what God is saying through them, we're going to miss it. And I know we're not charismatics, and I know we're not Pentecostals, but it gets loud. There's loud noises. Loud singing and expressing thanks. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, not because I can read minds, but I have been doing this for a little while. Oh my, now I get it. Pastor Chris, he's one of those extroverts to the wazoo. You know, there are extroverts and then there are those that are on steroids. Why isn't he a Pentecostal or charismatic? He's kind of a freak. Yes, I am. But notice that these Psalms do not say, in parentheses, for freaks only, for charismatics only. Brothers and sisters, the scriptures here that tell us about giving thanks and praising God is for every believer. And unless you're mute or paralyzed from the tongue down, it applies to you and me. Now, I know we've got different personalities, and I know some of us are on the calmer side and wish I was that light, that way. Sorry, that ship has sailed. That ain't happening. Okay, but we're not talking about personality or disposition. Jesus knew, because he knows all things, but when that Samaritan came back to give glory to God, he didn't merely do what Jesus said, go see the priest so you can get your little I'm clean permit so you can go back to home and go to worship. The fact that he instinctively now, because he was not only healed physically but transformed spiritually, he couldn't help but come back and give thanks. He couldn't help it. And what I want to say about these Psalms in the next few minutes, it's just on the surface, brothers and sisters. It's just there. First of all, notice how praise and thanks in these Psalms, notice how it goes together. Oh, come, Psalm 95. Oh, come and sing to the Lord. Sing to Yahweh. Make a joyful noise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Do both, you see? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's kind of repetitious. Yeah, we need to hear it again. Come into His presence with singing. Now a little further down. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him. Bless, or literally praise His name. If you only want one little sentence, there it is. After enter His gates, give thanks to Him. Praise or bless His name. They go together. Psalm 105. Give thanks to Yahweh. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. What's the deal? What's the point? You cannot truly worship God, the triune God, through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot, and I cannot, truly worship Him without a heart full of gratitude and thanks. It can't be done. When Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, different Samaritan, you worship what you don't know. Remember, they were worshiping on the wrong mountain. And Jesus, before He saves her, just decides to put her in her place and say, you don't know what you worship. And then He tells her about how to worship. A time is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus could be referring to the Holy Spirit there and the truth of God's Word. But it could also involve the heartfelt sincerity of God's people. Has to. Jesus says those are the worshipers the Father seeks. Those that just do it objectively according to His Word? Of course not. Those who believe His Word is true. And they not only give honor to God, they give Him thanks. thanks. Giving God some kind of worship without thanks. It's like a spouse that says to his husband or wife, see, I don't want to blame either one. I'm just going to keep it general. Says, I love you. And I have to say that because I took a vow. I mean, if your spouse said that to you, I don't even want to play around with hypotheticals because I don't want to take away from the seriousness of the point. If your spouse said that to you and meant it, not playing around, but really meant it, I love you, I have to. And really meant it. It's disgusting, right? Well, think about the God who made you, who sustains you. Our prayer of confession this morning of sin was just mimicking the Apostle Paul when he's talking to those pagans in Athens, reminding them that the true God, not their false non-gods that they created in their imagination and then sculptured them, and they had them all over Athens. There were so many of them that Paul just feels oppressed by their idolatry. It's just overwhelming. And he says, let me tell you about the true God in whom we live and move and have our being. He made us. He sustains us. And you see, if we rightly understand that, we give him glory, worshiping and giving thanks. They go together. Declaring God's glory and thanking him for all his blessings, they go together. So I've already said it by inference, I think, but let me just reiterate it. We're going to jump down. You know the reasons to give thanks to God. I don't have time to go into them, but Psalm 95 talks about God being our creator, creating the mountains, creating the valleys, creating the oceans. Psalm 100 says he created us. And then he just says these little words. And you are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And if we're not careful, we'll just go, well, duh, we know that. But you see, David doesn't want you or me to say duh. He wants you to realize that by nature, you and I are sinners. We were dead spiritually, and he's given us life and made us sons and daughters of the living God. We're his people. That's why we give thanks. Do we give thanks that we have life and breath and everything else? Yes. And most of all, that he's given us salvation in Christ. And you or I could have done nothing to earn it. Why do Presbyterians get so bent out of shape about emphasizing to our non-reformed brothers and sisters in Christ, don't you understand that salvation is all of grace? It's the work of God, so that even the faith that you put into Christ, God gave you that faith after he transformed your heart. Oh, do you mean I didn't believe? Of course you believed. But it was the fruit of the work of the Spirit. What's the big deal? The big deal is if you think or I think I had anything to do with my salvation, I'm going to be patting myself on the back, and it's really hard to do, but just a little bit. I'm so glad I woke up. I'm so glad I trusted in Jesus. But if you know that salvation is all of God, and if it were not for him bringing the gospel to you and transforming your heart, you would still be spiritually dead. Amen. See, that's why we get wound up. Not to make theological points, but to give God all the glory. So, how do we show it? How do we show it? We've already said, mere words can be mere words. Brothers and sisters, we ought always to give thanks before we eat a meal. We could do it after the meal. We could do it at halftime and between the meal. But brothers and sisters, there's a danger there. What's the danger? We can go on autopilot when we pray. Now, I'm not talking to you as novices. I'm talking to you as experienced Christians, and me too. We can go into autopilot. We can just, somebody says, will you pray? Well, I thank you, Lord. I mean, for some people, that's the first words out of their lips. And it's not bad, but it can be just words. When you brush your teeth, do you start on the top or the bottom? You don't know, because you just brush your teeth. And we can do that in prayer. And we can do that in giving gratitude. Another freebie. Read the Psalms a bunch. Because what you'll notice is while they repeat themselves, there's still variety. And they'll even say the same thing like God made us and takes care of us and saved us from our sins. But they'll mix it up a little. You can actually give thanks a little differently than you did yesterday and the day before and the day before that and the day before that and 10 years before that. How do I figure out how to do that? Just go back to reading the Psalms. Just read them. If you find one that's kind of heavy and David's praying about God's enemies and how to beat them up, okay, move on. If you run, you know, the sweet spot is right around Psalm 90 to the end, but 90 to about 107, there's your sweet spot. Okay, you stay there all year, 2023. I dare you. Stay right there in the sweet spot and just mull over them. Just savor them. I dare you. And then give thanks. Don't make it just mere words. Do you see what I wrote in your outline? Emotions, yes and no. Or no and yes, I can't remember how I wrote it. See, I take the outline that I give to Lisa and then I make it bigger so I can see it, but then I change it. So I don't always know what you have in front of you, but I think I said something like yes and no. Are we to express emotion? I know for some of you, you've been Presbyterians all your life and you were taught, not with Pastor Mike, but maybe a guest preacher that just snuck in here and he said, I have read in the Presbyterian law book, no Presbyterian shall ever be emotional. Okay, I know that. But it's a lie, brothers and sisters. All right. Just go with me here. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to Yahweh. Make a joyful noise or sound. It doesn't matter. It's not quiet. You cannot get quiet about that. Make a joyful noise. Come into his presence with singing. Give thanks. Call upon his name. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. You see, you can't help but feel that. And if you can't feel that, you've got to at least ask the question, why can't I? Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what I've been going through. My grown children, we've been getting along for all these years, but now they've decided they don't want to relate to me anymore. I've done something and they've canceled me. Or preacher, you don't understand. Nobody knows it. Everybody thinks my business is successful, but I'm going down the toilet fast. And I can't tell anybody, but you got to understand, I'm not in that position now to come into this place and truly give thanks. But the Apostle Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. How can that be? Can you give thanks in all circumstances when your life is a wreck or your health is a wreck or more difficult? The one you love, their health or life is in a wreck? Yes. Well, that's just morbid. That's sick. No, no, no. Remember the promise. God works all things for our good, those who love God. Do you love God? Are you trusting Him by faith? Yeah, I trust in Him, but I made a mess of my finances. Or I trusted Him, but I made a mess with my kids. Have you confessed those sins to the Lord? As far as I know, I have. It's not going to make all the mess go away. But now, you see, you have the assurance that He's going to take that crud. Partly your own fault, partly living in a fallen world. It's all stirred up together and you've got a mess of a life. But you've got the promise of God. And so you can, by faith, not faith in nothing, faith in the promise of God that He loves you. And He's promised to make you more like Christ, even in the midst of your mess. And so you can come into this place by faith and give thanks. And I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. I know we have different dispositions, personalities. I do not expect you to act like me. That would be scary. Okay? Why sing? And see, I'm preaching to the choir now because y'all sing good. If I was preaching to a church where three people sang, it'd be kind of, there'd be pressure, right? You know, 100 people don't sing, just go, and three that do. That would be tough. I would do it, but then I would run out of the service really fast. But y'all sing for the most part. It's an act of faith. It's an act of worship. I don't feel like it. I don't care. God doesn't care. You are in the presence when you and I come into this place and we're called to worship. We have now entered into the presence of Almighty God and all His glory. Well, I don't deserve to be there. I know you don't. I don't either. We're coming through Jesus and His death on the cross. And He's the all-glorious one. And we need to sing out and give Him praise and give Him thanks by faith. Now maybe, because most of you look familiar. Maybe everybody. Okay. I think everybody. I'm not sure. So as long as I don't recognize everybody, I assume I don't know everybody. And I certainly, even though all your faces are becoming familiar, I don't know all your spiritual ins and outs and where's life going. So what if everything I'm saying is just foreign to you? Just, you're like, give thanks? What? You're spending a sermon on that? Okay, I get it. Thanksgiving Day. But really? Now, you would never, ever verbalize that. Okay? Nobody's going to ever know you're thinking that way. Okay? You know that. Not you, but you know, the hypothetical person, you over there. You know that. I know that. Okay. So now listen to me. You really believe you're resting in Christ. You're trusting in the judge of all the earth who should condemn you to hell, but you say you believe that His Son died for your sins, yet you won't in your heart of hearts express gratitude? How dare you? You see? You see what I did? I snuck up on you. Came through the back door. Kind of like Nathan did to David. You know, David committed murder, committed adultery. Nathan the prophet comes and tells him a cute little story. Well, it's not cute, it's a bad story about a guy who stole somebody's land. David got enraged. Oh, David, the king, man after God's own heart. Who's this rotten dog that stole this family's poor little ewe lamb? And Samuel said to David, "You are the man." Now, dear friend, if you know nothing of giving thanks to God, you have to, in Judgment Day, honesty, you have to ask yourself, do I really know Jesus? I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus. I'm not talking about coming to hear sermons. I'm talking about you really know the Savior. And brothers and sisters, I'm back to you now. If as you hear these pleas to give thanks and you're like, I can't, you can by God's grace. Plead with Him to give you faith to give Him thanks. Father, help us, your people, to give you thanks always, and especially when we enter this place of worship.